want to close the door.
I'm so sorry.
But the question about, maybe let's just take that up. Remember the rush for the summer thing on the bridge? One of the questions that the rush asked was, we see from the Gemara and Bava Metzia, it says, that even where Chav L'Acherim, a Hodah, would be accepted if it's backed up by a Nida. Isn't that right? So after the Rashba finished his whole discussion of it, we sort of were left, so why shouldn't the Migo work by Kedusha? Meaning, what kind of a case? Even if, let's say, the man and the woman said we married each other, but nobody was present. It was just us. And why don't we simply believe them? Even if we'll say it's Chav L'Acherim, but we should believe them because of the Migo. What's the Migo? The Migo is we should believe them that they got married, you know, behind closed doors, let's say 2 days ago, because they could just get married right now in front of the Beis Din. They could just do it right now in front of two Eidim. So believe us that we did it yesterday behind closed doors, because we could just do it right now again. We have no reason to lie. What's the whole reason why a dog doesn't work for its Chav L'Acherim? It's not some, you know, mysterious reason. It's because we can't trust the Hodah where it's Chav L'Acherim. But if you have a Migo, Migo gives a person trustworthiness that he otherwise would not have. Isn't that true? So at the end of the Rashba, so why doesn't Amigo work for Kedusha? Because at the end of it, when you leave the Rashba, you leave the Gemara, if I were to ask you, what would be if the man and the woman just admitted to themselves, admitted that they got married by themselves, what would be the din? I would tell you it doesn't work. No? Mm-hmm. But what about the Migo? Right. So, what I was thinking was as follows. The only problem, I'm going to say something, but I don't know if it really fits in well to the words of the Rashba. Maybe you can tell me what words of the Rashba you don't think it fits in well with either. But let me just that. Let's look in Mamonos. See, the question that we have is, I think somebody might have asked, I know one of my other classes asked me this, I don't know if it was asked here as well. In Dinei Mamonos, we've spoken about that sometimes you can have a mamon that is Chav L'Acherim, and sometimes you can have a mamon that is not Chav L'Acherim. Where it's not Chav L'Acherim, then Hodah Sbal Din works. And where it is Chav L'Acherim, then Hodah Sbal Din does not work. But we still know, in theory, that if it's not Chav L'Acherim, it would work. It's not true. Hodah would work, even though you have no Eidim at all. Isn't that true? So, at the end of the day, is there a concept by Momo of Eidus L'Kiyum Hadavar?
No.
Do we have such a concept? This idea by Mama, I'm asking.
Yeah.
Just by Mama.
If it's Chav L'Acherim.
So the way this is the part that bothers me, because if that were true, then Amigo should not work. Amigo is not too able. But if you're telling me that wherever it's Chav L'Acherim, you have to have Eidus L'Kiyum Hadavar, what is that saying then? That's saying that anything less than two Eidim is nothing. Then why should we accept Amigo? Amigo is not two Eidim. It's another way of, you know, of knowing that a person can be trusted. But it's not two Eidim. You understand what I'm asking? Mm-hmm. Let me just say the whole thing out. So, that's why I thought, and I know it doesn't fit into the word, but just in terms of one way to understand it is that by mamonos, since we know that where it's not havla cheren, a hodor is acceptable. What does that tell you in principle about dinei mamonos?
It exists without.
There is no concept of eidus lekiyum hadavar. Because if there was, then you should always need to aid it. The fact that hodor works, what is hodor? If a guy admits that he owes money, we could believe him, because no normal person would admit to owe money unless it were true. Migo also gives a person ne'emonus, right? No, ne'emonus means the ability to trust him. A hodor where it's not chav lachem, we could trust that, because he has no reason to lie. And if he has a migo, we can trust that too. So these are ways of trusting people even without what? Without two aid. So that's why I would have said that in Dinei Mamonos, there is no concept of Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar, even if it's Chav Lachem. Because it just works. Chav Lachem, a Hodor won't work, but Migo would work. But when you move over to Kedushin, what did the Rashba, every Kedushin is Chav Lachem, this quasi Chav Lachem. Every single one, not without fail. There is no concept of Eino Chav Lacherem, at least fully, by Kedushin. Can we shut it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting...
Yeah.
At least we know it works out.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking was that in Kedushin, every single case of Kedushin is Chav Lacherem, is quasi Chav Lacherem. Therefore, Hodor can never work for Kedushin. Never. If Hodor can never work for Kedushin, that's where, if the whole Gzeirah Shava is made to what? What does that mean to say we make the Gzeirah Shava only to Mamon that is Chav Lacherem? That means Hodor is, once Hodor is out, so I would also say Migo is out. Because by making the Gzeirah Shava only to a mamon that is Chav Lacherem, then you're eliminating everything else. What do I mean by everything else? You're eliminating Hodor. If you're eliminating Hodor, what I was thinking was, that means no form of Ne'amanus can substitute for what?
Kiyum Hadavar.
To aid.
Why didn't the Rashba just say this?
I don't know. I just don't know. Because at the end of the day, why does an amigo work for Kedushin? That's what I was stuck on. So I don't know. I have to see if I'm not going to find this. I have to see if any Achronim. I have to look to see if any Achronim discuss this part of the Rashba. Right now I haven't found it, but I have to. I haven't really looked. Exhaustively. So, did you all hear what I just said? So I don't know. But I don't think it's
for Mamon. You're saying there's no. You would never need Eidus Lekiyum.
Not Lekiyum. You might need Labiru.
Labiru, but not Lekiyum.
But see, the Rashba part is, if you read the Rashba, it sounds like that he's saying that in Mamon, where it is Chav Lacherem, I thought he was saying that it's Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar, and then I get stuck because if it is so. Then why does amigo work?
So Chav Lacherem in Mamon, why would that need to aid him? Just for Bira?
No, you don't need it. You can have amigo. Anything that could be Mavara. If you have amigo, that could be Mavara. If you have to aid him, that could be Mavara.
So
something else could be Mavara.
But it's all about Bira, whether it's Chav Lacherem or not.
See, once you say amigo works, then you're talking about, can we trust the person? That's all. We have reason to trust the people. Then you're just trying to be mavara the truth. So if I can trust the truthfulness of what's being said, then I got the truth. Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar is saying it's almost as though we don't care about the truth. For some reason, you have to have two aidim to sanction the event. Otherwise, the event is nothing without two aidim. You understand? So So I don't know. I don't know how else to...
Like, why would the Rosh ask a question without answering it?
I don't know. That's what may be in the way. I don't know.
Do you think he thought it was obvious?
The point of Khan, it wasn't obvious from his answer. It would actually suggest the opposite.
Right. No,
yeah.
I'm saying, I didn't, we all were troubled by it, but maybe...
Yes, unless something, I don't know.
Is it possible it's just, like, an issue with, like, the version of the manuscript that we have? Maybe there was another one where he did answer it?
That's a good down the compliment.
Yeah. It doesn't help us.
Right. But
we have this man, I don't know.
Sometimes, like, we can't know why it's not there.
You mean
it's not like a word is missing.
Yeah.
There's a whole thought here that...
Just to clarify that Rashba, when he says, when he mentions in his questions, like, what about a sadat? Isn't that going to be Qabl al-Khayrim too? The
that's
answer to that would just be that Eshet Ish is much stronger than preventing somebody else from buying something. Like, in that case, it was a sadat, and I sell something to my friend privately. I don't need hodah, I don't need anything. I don't need two witnesses at all. Even though technically this other person might have wanted to be part of that sale. And I don't have to worry about that because it's not like Kiddushin.
Yeah, so now you see, so that's a problem. It's also a problem in the Rashba that he made such a strong case why it's not Qabl al-Khayrim, so that when he finally had to come around and say that it's like Qabl al-Khayrim, I don't believe he's going to say that the Sada example is like Qabl al-Khayrim either.
I'm just trying to think, like, what would make it different? And the only thing that's different is the Eshet Ish thing. Eshet Ish is a stronger form of acquisition than a regular sale because you actually need to get.
But it's not about that. It's about whether how it's affecting other people. It's not about the kinyan.
Right, but it's affecting other people more because in this case, this acquisition cannot be undone without a get. But in that case, you just sell it to another person. You don't even need to give a get.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't. That also, you know, I don't believe that the Rashba at the end of the day is going to apply this Ke'en Chav L'Acherim to the Sada example. You don't know.
What do you mean
the Ke'en? The Ke'en, this quasi Chav L'Acherim.
Right.
So, it's difficult, but the difficulty is not so much in the Rashba, the difficulty is really in understanding the Gemara. I mean, he's asking very good questions on the Gemara. He's asking that it's really not Qabl al-Khayrim. So, you know, we appreciate the fact that he is raising these issues. And the problem is, the resolution, you know, leaves also questions unanswered. But I don't think, what else are you going to say? The Gemara came out, what did the Gemara conclude about Kedushin? That it is Qabl al-Khayrim. The Gemara said it. It's Chav L'Achem, so you can bang your head against the wall all you want, but the Gemara still said it. We don't understand. The Rashba has great questions. It didn't make sense to him. Okay?
Could it be it was just more of a communal thing, like a societal thing, not a communal thing? Like back then, marriage had to, it was...
Well, I don't see how that's relevant. This is about whether people, as he explained so well, how no one has a right to her to say that they're being...
No one has a right to her, but at the same time, like, even though that's technically true that nobody has a right to her, nobody has a claim to her, the community does play a really big role in arranging her marriage and in...
That might be so, but whoever that... It's not the community, you can say the family.
Both.
Yeah, but at the same time, no other man out there has a right to her. That still remains, so... The fact
it's balancing those two things, like this idea that, like this technical idea that really nobody has a claim to her, and what has become the way that things work, which is that the community.
But the way things work is irrelevant to the point that he's. The issue is Qabl al-Khayrim. It's not about who arranges the marriages and the fact that the community, let's say, is involved in arranging the marriage, but at the same time, no man has a claim to her. I don't see how you can get around that. Okay, if I have anything more to say about it, I will.
Yeah.
I will bring it to your attention. Okay. Where did we leave off in this Tosfos?
We read the questions.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to the answer yet?
No.
Okay, so we're up to the Kach Nir LeRabbeinu Tam?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Who could tell me? We can do this one of two ways. We could read it, or we could first discuss it. Or we could do it both ways.
Can we discuss it? Can we just make sure that we read it also?
Okay.
I vote for reading.
Okay, so we'll read two. Who can first? I'd like to know, I'd like to hear what you got out of this Tosfos, but go in order. Okay, Victoria, tell me what you understood.
So I think the first step would say, is that the Beit Tam in his Gibbon, his Gibbon style is a little different.
Yeah.
See, in our Gemara, it says, Isha, if I put me in Shadir Beit Tam, lo makneya nafsha.
Makneya nafsha.
Right.
Okay.
And Rashi said there that, I mean, he asked a question on Rashi, if...
And we did that, so what is Rabbeinu Tam
saying? He answers that word, nafsha, is not in his Gibbon style.
I don't know if it was on his gears or each single
thing. Well,
yeah,
we should just say,
right.
Took it out.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about the
so he took out the word nafsha. Now that is a very significant one word. It's a very significant deletion. And Victoria, why is the word so important, the fact that he took it out?
Because Shavei Peruta or less than Shavei Peruta, this has nothing to do with what the woman is makpid to receive. Meaning, that's it's the halakha that... So three methods is kesef, shad, and bi'ah. And kesef, what does kesef mean in Shavei Peruta? Anything less than that is not considered
it's not
kesef.
It's not kesef. Yeah. So, apochos mishavei peruta is simply not kesef. And repeat again, and it's not dependent on what? Say
on the woman's preference, or not
yeah.
really preference. I'm not
yes,
really
yes, that's a good word. And it doesn't depend on a woman's preferences. In other words, it's not because a papa's mishav approved or most women would find it demeaning. It has nothing to do with whether it's demeaning or not. Even if all the women of the world, hypothetically speaking, did not find it demeaning, it wouldn't matter. What are we being told? What is Kuntz Rabbeinu Tam? Apochos Mishava Pruta is simply not Kesef.
For Kedushin or in
period.
That's just his. That's just his.
What?
I was just confused.
Confused about what?
About this.
About
I'm just saying
what?
That this is just how he holds that it's
left. Of course, that's what we're doing Rabbeinu Tam. What do you mean as he holds? That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. That a papas mishava pruta is simply not kesef. It's as if it has no value. Papas mishava pruta halachically is not considered as having value.
What do we do with the coins that we have that are worth less than a pruta? Don't we have coins that are less than a pruta?
Who has coins?
Aren't there coins?
When today?
Yeah. I thought that was a discussion
well, what do you
that we
do
had
with.
With
you put it in your piggy bank. I don't know. What did this make? What you do with it? I don't understand the question.
I don't know how he's saying that it's not worth anything. If there are coins that are worth less than a pruta.
Less than a pruta is not halachic.
So why are there those coins?
Because together they equal something else, but alone they mean nothing. They don't have a value.
One coin that's a papas mishava pruta is worthless. You have to put two half prutas together, you got a whole pruta. Oh, so you got a pruta.
So you can't do anything with a penny note.
Why is that relevant to our discussion?
Because I was just confused how you were saying that, because when we did the case of Tefillin and Kelim, I thought the Gemara there suggested that is it that Tefillin and Kelim don't work because they're less than they're less than a pruta.
Okay.
And then it rejects that because it says that, no, but we have coins that are worth less than a pruta, and that's not what it's discussing.
What?
That's
what?
Not what the
Gemara
said.
I thought that was one of the... When we were discussing Tua Kalim, they wanted to know why. We were discussing the possibility that they reject using Tua Kalim for Shabbat Kesef, and then it said.
Only because Lo Kite say.
That was the end answer. What was the suggested answer before it said that?
No, there wasn't. It had to be, it couldn't be a Papas Mishava Pruta, because that would be nothing.
Okay.
I mean, you have to, you want to do that privately, I'll go over to Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam believes that a papas mishava pruta has nothing to do with her subjective preferences. It's based on an objective standard that we're saying that a papas mishav prut is simply not ketzer. And as much as the woman might say that she's okay with a papas mishav prut, it won't help. Because it's not ketzer. Now, okay. So does this resolve all the problems that Tosfos had asked? So Victoria, can you continue?
Yeah, so this addresses the first two questions.
Which is what?
Which was based on Ashi, the Genai. Okay, now when I forgot the first question for a second. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that question. But if she's okay with Shabbat Peruta?
But if she's okay with what?
With Pachot, Mishabbat Peruta.
Yes.
It addresses that question. And it also addresses question two, with how come the Gemara doesn't come back and say, oh, just like the daughters of Yanai.
That's right. Okay. Next.
How does this address the daughters of Yanai question?
Because this is not about a Genai.
So how does the daughters of Yanai just have their own specific?
Right, yeah, there, that issue was about Genai for them.
But that was particular to them. Like, Genai never happened.
Well, particular to anybody who has a preference of an amount of money that's above a pruta. But it's not because less than that amount is not kesef. It's just for them, they were machped not to accept less than that, you know, particular amount. Remember, Tosfos had asked, why didn't the Gemara according to Rashi? The Gemara should have asked here, Elameyat to Benos to Rabbi Yanai, if they wanted to accept less than a Tirkuv of the Dinri, are you going to say it's not a Kiddushin? That question would be irrelevant, because we're not talking about women, the pedos of women. We're talking simply about a Papas Mishav HaFruz, it's just not Kesef. But now, Rabbi Natan Master now also wants to explain why the Gemara had a Havanina to think that Chalipin would work, and it's based on the Gzera Shava of, you know, Kicho Kicho Miste Ephraim. And Tosfos had asked, why don't we ask about Chazaka? And why didn't the Gemara say that Shtar we know that works for Kedushin? Why not say we know it from the Gzera Shava of Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim?
So he's asking about Chalipin and Chazaka.
What is it?
He's looking to answer to questions 3 and 4 together.
Well, let's see. We didn't finish yet. So what does Rabbi Natan continue to say? Yeah. Yes.
That from Kicho Yonenai specifically Kesef. We don't learn Shtar and Chazaka from Kesef.
Okay. I want you to see if you can allow. You're right. So what he says is that from the Gzera Shava, when the Gemara said Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim, tell me what it's not, Avital.
It's not Kesef Davka. It's not specifically.
That's what you're saying that it is.
No, it's specifically Kesef Davka. It's not.
And tell me what it's not.
Star and Kesef.
No, you're not saying
that. Not all Inyanei Hasada. Not all Inyanei
Hasada. That's right. The Gzera Shava is not to be understood how that we are simply equating what the kinyanim of a Sada, that those same kinyanim should work for a Kedusha, for a Nisha. That's not what the Gzera Shava is saying. That whatever works for a Sada should work for a woman for Kedusha. That's not it. So tell me what it is. But tell me in terms of the Gzera Shava. I'm asking you. You just tell me how we should not interpret the Gzera Shava. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got that. So tell me how I should interpret the Gzera Shava.
That you can use Kesef to acquire a woman.
How do you do that? Why Kesef only? How do you get to Kesef?
There's a Pesach says Kesef. Kesef. The word Kesef.
Try to say a little bit better. Yes?
Because in that specific case of purchasing a land from Mistei Ephraim, it was done with Kesef.
I know, that's what they're saying, a little bit more. So what is the Gzera Shava? Yeah, say, I just want you to just,
yeah.
I think just be it.
But it's specifically Shava Pruta and not anything less than a Pruta, because that's not...
Well, no, we're not there yet. No.
Like,
just
you want to extrapolate what, like the Kicha?
Yeah, that it's about the word Kicha.
Kicha, Kicha specifically means?
Zeir is about Kicha. How do we, it says by Kedushin, what does it say by Kedushin? Kicha Kishisha. What is the definition of Kicha?
Well, that's the whole reason we learned Kesef to begin Kesef.
Right, exactly. So, if the Zeir Shava is about what the word Kicha means, so when you make the Zeir Shava to the Svei Ephron, what does the word Kicha mean? Now you bring in what you said. Well, there the Kicha was
Kesef.
That's the Zeir Shava. The Zeir Shava is about the word, what Kicha, what taking means. How does one take? Right? How does one acquire? So the Kicha, but it's not about Soda and Isha being equated somehow. It's about trying to define what the word Kicha means.
There specifically or everywhere?
What do you mean by everywhere? I don't know what
like
everywhere.
Does Kicha mean something else someplace else?
I don't know where. What are you talking about?
Okay. I just thought we had said there, so I wasn't sure we were being specific to there.
We only have one kicha ticha. I don't know about any other kicha ticha.
Well, we don't have any other word of kicha ever in the Tanakh. Not
like, what is this?
Okay,
kicha?
You're going to research that for us, and then you'll come back tomorrow, and you'll tell us if you were able to find something. Okay. Until you do, we don't have what to discuss. Okay. Okay. Weren't you supposed to research something else, too?
Yeah, and I asked you for help on it.
What did I tell you to research?
What Shmuel would say about Rav, was it Rav Shmuel Begala or was it a different Rav? How Shmuel would interpret like the case of a katana, like that thing that we're learning, that like if a katana becomes married midoraita straight, and then according to Shmuel, how would Shmuel ever say that?
Oh, that Tosfos, that Tosfos.
Yeah,
Tosfos.
And,
oh,
so, and I couldn't really figure out that Tosfos.
Oh,
so
that's what
you
asked me, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. But this one you could check out.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any tips for checking that
no.
out?
No.
Okay.
Kind of concordance.
All right,
just kidding. You got
to
use
all the time.
Did you say it comes to outside?
Yeah. 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 I was hungry without saying my name.
Okay. So next. So
you
then.
Next
so then what? What is that? Rabbeinu Tam still have to explain. Yes. Okay.
Why did Maraz Hay ask? But now it makes sense, because if this Gezeirah Shavah was only talking about Kesef, then the Gemara did have to ask, where, how do you know that Shtar was?
Exactly. And what else does Tosfos now have to explain?
Why the Gemara had the Hava Amina for Chalikin?
Oh, so now the question is, now we don't understand Gemara now. What do I mean? If the whole Gezeirah Shavah is about what?
Kesef.
The definition of the word Kicha, which we know Kicha is synonymous with Kesef. So why did the Gemara have a Hava Amina to think that Chalipin should work? Chalipin is not Kesef, at least so we think. Just like we don't have a Hava Amina to think that Chazaka should work, the Gemara never thought that we should learn out Shtar, that Shtar works for Kedushin from Svei Ephron. So then why is the Gemara thinking that Chalipin should work? What's the Hava Amina of the Gemara to think that Chalipin should work? So what did Rabbeinu Tam answer? Yeah.
He explains that this questioner was asking when Chalifin is Shavet Rutam, which is Kesef, it should work.
Say a little bit. So what is
meaning?
Meaning what?
If Shtar
works. Meaning Shavet Kesef Ik. Sorry, Shavet Rutam, we just said, is equivalent to Kesef. So if one does Chalifin with Shavet Rutam,
yes,
that should be valid. And he even goes on.
But I know, but based on what?
Based on the fact that we know that Kicha works with Kesef.
I know that. So what are you telling me about Chalipin then? But you're not doing Kinyan Kesef. You're doing Kinyan Chalipin.
But you're using a Shavet Rutam.
Good, but I'm doing Kinyan Chalipin.
But
the
Torah
and
Kesef.
What?
The Torah and Kesef.
So what do you English? Tell me what you mean.
It's classic.
The Torah saying that Chalipin with more than a Shavet, but the Shavet Rutam are greater, is a form of Kesef itself.
Yeah, you have to say that.
Mm.
That Kinyan Chalipin is a type of Kinyan Kesef. That's what he means by Kain. It's what is the word? Same word Kain like we had in the Rush, but Kain means like, similar to. It is like, it is a, you understand why it seems to have all the features of Kinyan Kesef? Can you just, I mean, it's obvious, but someone just say it out. How can one see that Chalipin is like a Kinyan Kesef? Because that's what Rabbeinu Tam is now suggesting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
We're giving Kesef or Shabbat Kesef in exchange for something else.
Yeah. You're giving something of value. Let's say whatever it is, say any kli, let's say if it's a shavah prut of the kli, you're giving something of value, and in return you're getting something else. Not exactly what.
But isn't the point that chalifa could be less than shavah?
That's Mar's answer.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought
it in the first place. Yeah. So the havamina was that where what? That if the kli, the suder, that you're using for chalipa happens to be a shavah pruta, then even though you say I want to be makadesh this woman with chalipa, you're not saying I want to be makadesh her with kinyan kesef. I'm saying I want to be makadesh this woman with kinyan chalipa. If the suitor is worth a pruta, then what? The havamina is that it should work, because then that kinyan chalipa would be a form of kinyan kesef. I asked me, why do I need it if I have kinyan kesef? I don't know. And I have a meaning. But it would be a form of kinyan kesef. So in other words, you have two types of, you have this kinyan, what we call kinyan kesef, and then you have the kinyan chalipin, which is a modified form of kinyan kesef. And that's why the Gemara had a have a meaning to think that it should work. The Gemara never thought about chazaka. Chazaka is not domet to kesef. Shtar is not domet to kesef. Those are totally different kinyanim. And that, the Gemara never thought that it should work because they work by a soda. Because the zera shava is not between a soda and this woman. You understand? So, to which then, what was the Gemara's answer? Who can tell me the Gemara's answer? Yes, how do you fit it into according to Rabbeinu Tam? How does Rabbeinu Tam understand the Gemara's answer?
That since it can be less than since a kinyan chalifin doesn't always have to be a shavah pruta, even if it is a shavah pruta,
yes,
we don't consider it to be like a kinyan kesef in this case.
So the answer, that's exactly right. So Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara, the fact that we see what? That chalifin will work even if the sudar is less than a pruta. It could work. What did that tell Rabbeinu Tam?
It's not about the value.
That chalipin is not a kinyan of kesef. If we were to understand chalipin as a modified form of kesef, then if the suda was worth less than a prut, it should not work. But that's what the Gemara's answer, it does work. So what does that tell you? It's like telling the person who had this havamin in the Gemara that you've made a mistake. Kinyan chalipin, even where it is a shavah pruta, is not a kinyan of kesef. It's a different type of kinyan altogether, despite the fact that it has some features of kesef. So what? It is not a kinyan of kesef. It is a totally different kinyan. And once we acknowledge that it's a totally different kinyan, then by definition it can't work for kedushin, because the gzera shavah is only tekicha, which is kesef. This is a really very, very clever how Rabbeinu, you know, as you look at this Gemara, you look at the Gemara through the eyes of Rabbeinu Tam, it's a totally different Gemara than when you look at it through the eyes of Rashi. Do you see it? Do you all see it? Look at the whole Gemara. It's really amazing. Two people, you can look at the same Gemara and have totally different interpretations for it. This is a great example. Just totally different. Same words, but interpreted differently, yes.
So a question on that point, the same words. So when you said that Tosafot says that Rabbeinu Tam says, lo garsina nafsha, how are you reading those words?
We don't have in the text nafsha.
Meaning that word is not in his Gemara.
I don't know if that's what it means.
But
either it means that, or it means we should not have that text.
But either way, he thinks that word in the Gemara is incorrect.
That's right.
Okay.
So he takes out the word. Now, whether he took out the word himself, he found an old manuscript that did not have the word in it, I suspect that that's not it, because he would have said so. He would have said, Motsasi, you know.
He just has a feeling that it's wrong.
He just feels it's wrong. And how it got in there, however it got in there, he feels it's a mistake, and he feels it should be deleted. It's not not uncommon. This is, you know, Rishonim were ready if they felt that, you know, you have to remember, until the printing press, everything was copied. And sometimes the copier might not have been a big Talmud Chacham, so if somebody might have written on the side, you know, of the Gemara, oh, this is about Ginai, and he wrote the word Nafsha in there as a comment, and some copier, not knowing what's the text and what's a comment, could have written in what was a comment into the text. Your Tosfos somewhere says something like that, that that's how it could happen.
It's just so interesting because I think it's very common for people to view the text as like, I mean, it is, the fact that we could say that is, I think, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. This might not play out in certain circles, but I think this is just Dvarim Pshutim. This is Dvarim Pshutim. They did it all the time. The Vilna Gaon, I don't know, you go through the Gemaras all the time, it changes Gersos left and right. I mean, amazing. He even the liberty that he takes, I'm a little sometimes astounded. You know, I just realize. But okay, that's because they felt that, you know, mistakes could happen when it comes to, you know, Gemara, you know. Things were copied. Can you imagine what it was like to copy something? People who copied did not necessarily big Talmidei Chachamim who knew what the Gemara was saying, and they'd see a word on the side, you know, which maybe was only meant as a comment, got incorporated into the actual text. Tosfos somewhere says that that's what happened. Not here, I'm saying in general, though. Yeah.
Like, what's the line of, like, where you become an apikores for suggesting that things should or should not be in the Gemara?
Well, because
who said that?
I think you have to, you know, unless you're a very big Talmud Chacham, a big Lamed, who really, you know, I would never do it on my own. I might pick that, I don't stand something, but, you know, to have the arrogance to simply say, oh, just take out this word, I would never. You know, because I'm not sure. But Rishonim, who really, I mean, first of all, you see from the Rishonim how fluent they were in entire Shas. You know, fuck how they caught everywhere. It's just, they didn't have a Tosfos when they wrote their Tosfos, you know. Because they weren't looking at Tosfos. You know, and so these are people who really, really knew Shas extremely well. And, you know, based on their understanding of things. So we're really relying on the Rishonim. I think that's really what it is. Really our trust in them. So people on their own. I mean, Vilna Gaon was not a Rishon, but he took upon himself. He felt very strongly about Gersos, and he was very big on that. And he would change Gersos too. But you're right, I mean, you have to, yeah. I don't want to use the word apikores, I don't like that. And, either it's right or it's wrong, that's all. I'd rather have an apikores than a namharis. So namharis, you can't talk to him. You have no common language.
You could teach him.
Yeah, but the way he is now, he's an apikores you can talk to. Have a great discussion.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you just said that.
That should be a fascinated.
Can't you?
All right.
Well, if I don't want to make an Amaritz like question things, like.
Well, yeah. What I mean by Amaritz, someone who has totally no understanding of the Amaritz like this, you can't have a Talmudic discussion, because he's not, you know, it's like trying to talk to someone about physics when you don't know anything about physics.
What is it?
Right,
like,
I don't mean that, I mean it in the sense that, you know, people who, you know, people change, you know, things happen. You know, people undergo all kinds of nisyonos. I mean, we're not to judge. We're not to judge. Like, you know, people who survived the Holocaust, you know. It's hard for me to imagine that anybody who survived that it did not shake his emuna. It's hard to, in some way. And even though they stayed from, you know, in terms of, they lived a Torah life. And who am I to judge? Who knows where I would have, you know. So I don't like labeling people. I judge a person. I think he or she does the best that he or she can. So what do we have to label people for? Let's get back to Tosfos.
Are there any cases of where we show them say, oh, there's a different drink that results in a different sak halacha, or it's typically?
Well, this is an example. I mean, I don't know how Rashi would answer the question of what if she accepted pachos mishavah bruta, what's the din? According to Rashi, Rashi says that the only reason is because of denai, so what if she said it's okay? I don't know how Rashi would answer that question, but it's possible, I don't know. But if Rashi were to say that it would work, according to her family time, it won't work.
Was your question?
According to Rashi, though, can't you say that it's an objective denai, that
I think that's a contradiction.
Why though? But if you're going to say that,
what do you mean it's an objective denial?
A denial is
a subjective, consideration.
But there's still an objective on it, like because let's say.
But then you're saying that
a minimum,
like you know that you're accepting less than like what you're doing is disgraceful.
For you,
but
it's
like,
not a denial. So what do you mean it's an objective? For
it's
me, for
it
you,
is a denial, but you're desperate. So you're
not for you. Not for you.
No, but it's still a denial.
It's a denial.
No, it's a denial for somebody else, but not for you.
No, but you can still say that, like, at that time, let's say, like, I mean, not to compare it to kind of Rebbe Zera, but, like,
yeah,
if women took it upon themselves, then therefore now every woman has that obligation, even if you personally didn't want to take it upon yourself. Same thing with here. The women of the time of the Mishnah of Gemara decided a pruta is the minimum, and therefore now we have the halacha that a pruta is the minimum of kenai.
They didn't decide it.
What do you decide if a woman says it's not a denial for me? I'm not.
What if a woman decides they don't want to keep talking about Rashi Zera?
It's not a denial for her.
But
just like the Noster of Yanai could come back and say, we'll accept less than a denial.
Because it was still above the minimum. But let's say the woman decides.
But there is no minimum, according to Rashi. How do you know there's a minimum? It's all about denial. No, you're trying to use. You're trying to introduce Rabbeinu Tam into Rashi.
I don't think I.
Would Rashi say that? That Kiddushei Kesef could work with nothing?
Well, you have to give something.
Okay, so there has to be
but the problem is that, not problem, then according to Rashi, it's hard for me to believe that Rashi would say that a Pachas Mishavah Pruta could work if she's willing to accept it, but based on Rashi, what he said in the Gemara, that it's a denial, it should follow.
Like, if she accepts a piece of wood.
If she accepts something that is a Pachas Mishavah Pruta for Kiddushin, based on what Rashi said, it should work.
Like,
here's
but
the
time
in the Gemara that we said
that
woman took something upon themselves, that
it's
subjective. That if a woman doesn't want to,
wait,
it's
and
okay.
You're into this any time
with
me,
but
find me, okay? That's
also
your job. Kind of
Rabbi
Zera.
Well, we did that already, okay? It's not this case at all, the kind of Rabbi Zera.
It's still a case of where a woman took it upon themselves to decide that this is the...
Yeah,
that's
so therefore the question
thing.
Is that if a woman is the Nosta Rabbi Yanai, who, if they would be willing to accept less than a tirkuf of din, right?
Oh,
the Gemara
okay,
there
see,
said
right.
It should work. And it does work. Remember, the Gemara only said that it wouldn't work if it was Balaila or Mega Shaliah. But otherwise, if she was willing to accept less, it works. Even though the Minig and her family for generations has been, you need a tirkuf of din, right? And all her sisters took a tirkuf of din, right? If she decided to take less, it works. Okay. So let's see if we can have somebody read this in Tosfos. Kach Nir or Rabbeinu Tam, who hasn't read in a while? Okay, McKenna.
Kach Nir El Rabbeinu Tam, the Garcinan, the Pachot Mishavet Perusa, Lo Mechania, the Lo Garcinan Nafsha.
Lo Goras.
Oh, the Lo.
Oh, you have Garcinan.
Garcinan.
Oh, you have Garcinan in
here?
Okay, it doesn't. Okay.
Lo
Garcinan Nafsha, the Lo Goras.
Okay.
What's Lo Goras? See, that sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds like Mark, like an active verb, that
he
took it out.
That he took it out. Yeah. I have Goras. Lo Goras, and he did not have the text. He was not Goras the text, Nafsho. Okay.
Okay.
Keep reading.
Dilogic pita talya milta.
What does that mean, dilogic pita talya milta?
Meaning this isn't dependent on preferences.
That's right.
Ela haita ama mishum de gamar kicha kicha mise efron dikti be kesef ube pachot mishave peruta lo mikre kesef.
Is that clear to everybody? Yeah, keep going.
The hamakshe shehekshe techila be ema hachinami b'shtar v'chazaka lo hekshe.
What does that mean?
That he...
What does that mean?
The person who in the Gemara who said the Ema Hafinami.
Yes.
Really, it seems like Chalitin should work.
Yeah.
Wasn't talking about Shtar and Chazaka.
He did not ask about Shtar and Chazaka. Keep reading. Go
home. See what he's saying?
What does that mean?
Because the point of that Gezer HaShava wasn't to equate an Isha with Sadeh in all matters of like Kinyan.
Yes.
What does that mean? And so therefore that's why the Gemara had to ask on he b'shtar ben alan, because we don't learn it from sadeh.
Right.
Ela lekesef dafka dichtiv bekicha velo pari.
What does that mean? Ela lekesef dafka.
Oh, rather we only learn from that gezera shava kesef dafka because it says kicha, and
yes,
the language of kicha indicates kesef.
So that's where I said that the gezera shava is about interpreting the word kicha.
Belo parik mechalifin, ela mishum dehavek en kesef dekra, kishayesh bahem shavei peruta.
Stop a second, what is that?
And so now he's also saying that the maksha wasn't asking about chalifin, but that was because chalifin, at first we're having this hava amina that chalifin has all these features of kesef.
So the havek en kesef, it is like kesef dekra, it is like kesef of the Torah, where there's a shavei peruta. So let's say that in our own words, that where the Suder is a Shava Pruta, then what was the Havamin of the Gemara to see that that is like Kesef? What do you mean it's like Kesef? It's a form of Kenyan Kesef. Keep reading. What does that mean, Bahi Pirusha?
So now he's going to explain the question of the Ema Hafinami.
That's right.
Shetikne Isha B'Chalifin.
Stop there for just a moment. What is that?
So he's saying that the questioner was thinking that a woman could be acquired with chalifin when it has all the features of kesef, meaning that you use something that was shave peruta.
Yes. Not yet. I didn't understand what he's doing. I'll keep reading.
Tfe mishtar sheyesh bo shave peruta, de'en sarich sheyishve hashtar peruta. Sounds like he's saying that it seems
what
like...
What does the word tfe mean?
More. So it seems like he's saying that the Hava Amina also was that chalifin is even better than shtar because the shtar itself, like the piece of paper itself, doesn't even have to be shaveh peruta.
Therefore, what's he?
Therefore,
what about a shtar?
A
shtar sheyesh bo tfei more so than a shtar that is worth a peruta. No, it's the piece of paper. The paper that you wrote the shtar on, what is the paper worth?
A
shavet pruta. So what do you mean? He's saying that the Gemara, go back to the beginning of the sentence, that the question asks that a woman should be, that Kedushin should work for a woman with chalipin, when the chalipin is worth a shavet pruta. Similar, it's like kesef dekra, right? It's like kinyan kesef of the Torah. Tfei more so than a shtar where the piece of paper is worth a pruto. What do you mean by more so? What is he trying to say here?
That it's even better to do kedushin with chalipin in this case than a shtar, because with shtar you could even do kedushin with shtar even if it's not worth a pruto or bichal, or it's worth nothing, because you can write a shtar on something that's isra b'hana'a. So, which is really, really worth zero. So here, it would be better to do kiddushin with something that's worth some kind of money.
What do you mean by better? I don't think it's a question.
It's just more
better.
And kesef. Like, yeah. It's more similar to kesef.
What is?
Chalifin.
Then what?
Then shtar.
Then a shtar. So in other words, a shtar. Sheyesh. What?
But I was saying, who cares? Because shtar is a different form of kinyan.
Well, that's what he's getting at, I think.
Okay.
That's exactly what he's getting at. That a shtar sheyesh bo shavet pruta.
Okay. Yeah.
the fact that it has a shava pruta, we would not, I think what he's saying is, we would not look at shtar as ke'en kesef. A kinyan shtar is a type of kinyan kesef, even if the piece of paper is worth a pruta. Do you understand why? First of all, he says, because the value of the paper is irrelevant. He goes on to say, because you, if you even wrote a shtar, right, he quotes a Gemara in Gittin talking about a get, that if you wrote a get on something that is osur bahana, you see what that means?
Like, then what is that? Like, take the paper from a shea tree?
Yeah, let's say if the piece of paper was somehow used in avodah zara in some way, somehow. So you're not allowed to have any hana. Well, what is an object that is osur bahana worth?
Nothing.
So it has absolutely no value. And so why it has no value? No one's going to buy it. Nothing. Try to sell it on the market, you get nothing. Who would buy it? It's osur bahana. You can't do anything with it. So it's worth nothing. So it has absolutely no value. And if you wrote a shtar, whether it's a get for divorce or a shtar for kedushin, you wrote it on such paper that's absolutely worthless, it's still valid. Why? It's obvious. What makes a shtar are the words that are written on the paper, not the value of the piece of paper. The piece of paper is just the background that you need to write the words. Right, so long as you get able to get the words out, I don't care what you write it on. Because Kinyan Shtar is a Kinyan based on words that are being expressed in a piece on a piece of paper. That's Kinyan Shtar. It has nothing to do with what?
The word
value. What makes a Kinyan Shtar a Kinyan Shtar is not about the value. What makes it is what's written on the what's written. You're expressing thoughts and ideas by writing them down. Isn't that what a shtar is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, but you can't use that document. Meaning, if
what
you
mean use it?
Meaning, as a shtar, even
why
though
not?
You're, because we know that you can't get hana'a from the varshel of kasher. I mean, that's yisur hana'a. You can't use it as a shtar because you're gaining benefit.
Well, she's not getting the benefit. What benefit? Because she's getting divorced.
Yeah,
that's a benefit.
It's a benefit to him because he wants it.
Maybe because it's not a benefit because you're getting a divorce and the mission doesn't consider getting a divorce a benefit for yourself. And that's why you can't.
Okay, so that's
the contract itself, like the object itself is not necessarily what's beneficial. It's just the necessary means to write the words. No?
Well,
thereby
benefits you. But I think the mission had
you're
exactly
not benefiting from
I mean,
you
can not
say shot orally. You're using this document that's a, you know, that you should be in benefit from to write shot.
Okay. I have to look it up. If, unless, first of all, you could say that the case is talking where the get is given to her Baal Korcha. So she doesn't want to be divorced. So it could work that way. But you're asking what would be if she wants the divorce and she's benefiting from it.
You're not benefiting from the star itself. You're benefiting from the words
from
written
the
on the canvas.
Yeah, so that was another way to make
it. But it's
what
kind of benefit you say it's like selling something.
As the benefit from this piece of paper, the piece of paper, she gets nothing out of it. It's what
yeah,
the divorce. The question on this, would that still be called violating the Isar Hana?
No, because Isar Hana is talking about selling something and the money that you get.
I know, but if I use, see, I can't think of another.
No, but like you can't burn someone else's field to like get warmth from it because it's cold. Like that's an Isar Hana also, right? Like you can't burn. Like avodah zara, because you're cold and then it gives you warmth, right? Isn't that also usher?
Yeah.
So it's not just money that you're gaining from; it's any other type of benefit.
Any benefit.
But it's not assumed that you benefit from a get.
Wow.
I mean, it has
you
to.
Don't.
The Gemara.
So I have to look that over. If that's where we have to go, then we have to talk. Remember, we talked about that in the Mishnayos.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know if we talked about it with regard to a get.
We did.
Also,
I'm
thinking about the Tosefta.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm
going
to say. That you can't use
a
Vodazara because
all right, so we have to stop. So for tomorrow, I'm going to look this over, but just try to finish this entire and then continue on to look at your source sheet.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going
to
what is it?
The retail. Where to burn it? Trees or what?
You have to understand.